The other thing was asking people what their goals are and where they want to be. If I want to do 50 deals a year and you want to do 20, we probably got a problem. We want to have that open conversation once a year and check in with people to see where they're at, what they're doing, and see how we can help them achieve that.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Sam, I'm here with John Medina. He's out of LA in California, but arguably maybe one of the most competitive markets in the country. And so I'm excited to have him here. I've known John for a number of years. And so, we're going to dig in and learn a little about what he's doing, what he's up to, and some of the challenges he's faced, like all of us along the way. Johnny, how you doing, bud?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Neil. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Just give us, for everybody's sake, an overview of your business. What do you do?
Yeah, so we're rehabbers, flippers, wholesalers here in Los Angeles, California. We just kind of opened up our market where we just expanded to all of California. So that's mainly what we do. So we just basically are buying, getting properties under contract and fixing up and flipping them, you know, wholesaling, whatever we can do to every deal is a little bit different. Just depends where it's at and what's going on with it.
Is the majority of your business fixing and flipping, or is it wholesale?
I'd say it's about half. It's
about half. Yeah. Is it fair to say, what I heard you say is you put it under contract and then decide. So if it seems like a decent deal, you're going to put it under contract and then you'll make an exit decision at some point. You've got a deal review process. Is that how it works?
Yeah, exactly. So we just, you know, the whole thing is that we kind of have two separate departments. So the first company, everything comes into the sales and marketing company.
Yep.
We just handle that like just a regular phone call, get the contract. Once we get the contract, then we'll probably look at the location, what needs to be done to the house. It's just how busy our workload is. Sure. And it's something that we want to take down ourselves. And then if not, well, we could always sell it to you if we want to. We just wholesale it off.
Yeah. So you kind of cherry pick the rehab deals.
Yeah, exactly.
For the best margin and the lowest input, greatest output.
And what we kind of found out is the ones that need the most work are the ones that basically drain you. So sometimes the ones that are really, you know, and I still do them. It just takes longer to get paid. And
right.
So paint and carpet seem to be the way to go, right. Even though it's a little bit more than that. Yep. But I say that, and then tomorrow I'll buy something, and I'll be gutting the whole house.
Sure.
You know how it is. It's just, you get sucked right back into it. But you know,
especially for those who actually know how to do it, right?
Yeah.
You know how to do it. Why don't we do this? Give everybody your background. How did you get into real estate? What did you do before real estate?
Yeah, and that's what's interesting. So I was just going to say, I used to be a plumbing contractor, right? So yeah. I was a plumbing contractor for about 25 years. So kind of like right out of high school, I got into plumbing. Worked about 5 years for two companies and just decided to go on my own. So I had, you know, extensive background in construction because, you know, being a plumber, you got to know how things are built. And I did construction plumbing. I wasn't a Roto-Rooter guy. I was out there putting in like new construction.
New construction on the plumbing side. So not only do you have to know how it's built, but you also know other people, trades.
Yeah, exactly. And that, right. So I did that for about 25 years. And then all of a sudden I saved a little money and I go, hey, I want to like, this is now around 2012. I'm going to buy some rental units, right? Kind of started in 2009 looking at like maybe I need to buy some rental units and I didn't pull the trigger until about 2012. Took some, you know, I took a lot of education during those 3 years. And then I got to the point in 2012, I bought a short sale and rehabbed it and got a renter in there. And then I bought another around the corner. Now we're in like 13. And then I started going, man, this is pretty easy. And the market was low and it was easy to buy short sales. Like you didn't really have to be that. You just had to have an agent.
You didn't have to be very good.
No. And then you basically, I was buying short sales and I was like, wait a minute, why would I want, like, then I start, and I go, well, maybe I could make a living at this. So I sold them all, which might have been a bad mistake. You know, at the time I should have kept them. But anyways, hindsight. And then I kind of put my plumbing business to rest in 2013 and 2014. I just kind of transitioned right in, like at this time of the year, I was already knowing I'm going into flipping houses full time. And I had some houses going at the time, maybe one. So I just made a decision in 13. I told my wife, I was just almost like, hey, I'm going to go for this. I was taking a class like at the end of 13 into 14 to figure out how to like market direct to sellers, how to talk to them. Because it was a little different than the short sale model, right? Where you just need an agent. So took that class and I was like, man, I think I got 3 or 4 deals. I sent out some mailers and people just like pretty much just gave me a call and they're like, this is what I want for my property. And I was like, well, I think I could do that. It was really easy, Neil. It was like, I'm not a genius. It wasn't that hard. And then the first year was kind of easy. Send some mailers out, get some deals. And then three or four deals, I made really good money. I think I made just as much as I did doing plumbing. And then after that, like around 15, 16 people start, all the people that got out of the market started getting back
coming
in.
Back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it got, then, you know, kind of where you are now, no one was answering your mailer like they were before. So you go, oh, just send out more mailers. Well, you know, and then I didn't have the systems or the anything in place to handle all the stuff. And it was just a learning lesson after that, you know?
Yeah. What's been, knowing what you now know, what would you have done differently when you started into the business besides buying everything you could in 2013?
Yeah. I think what I think I would have slowed down, you know, because I
would expand upon that.
I'm under the impression, like, you know, I'm not like that anymore. You know, you got to spend money to make money. And I had the money. So I was just going for it. I was pushing out a lot of marketing and just trying everything, but not having the infrastructure in place to handle what was coming in.
So infrastructure, meaning guys or gals to handle the phone calls, the salespeople to handle the calls. Yeah. And when they're on calls, somebody to handle those calls they don't take, right?
Exactly.
All the tracking relative to, did this marketing campaign even work?
Yeah, I had that down, but I didn't have a transaction coordinator. So here's my joke. I'm sending out, running pay-per-click ads. I got mail going out. The phone rings. They would come right to me at the time.
Yep.
But I'm a rehabber. So I'm on the job and I got a tape measure. And I got a call to answer.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a pure sales guy and that's what you want to do, you're going to throw the tape measure and answer the call.
Correct.
I was more so this is a good lesson for people listening. If you're more of a rehab or more of a construction guy, like I wanted to measure the kitchen first and I'll get back to that.
Yeah.
Well, in hindsight, the calls needed to be answered first before you measured the kitchen. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just doing too much and I didn't have the people in place to help me. And then I did start hiring people, but I was hiring the wrong people and I wasn't training them. Right. And I'm sure you've been through that too. So you hire people and you're not training them and then you expect them to know everything.
Yep.
You know, I was just on a call today with somebody that's thinking about doing more marketing. And I said, hey, friend of mine. And I was like, Hey, I wouldn't do any marketing until like, when you want to start doing some marketing, he's like, he wants to run TV ads. Like, okay, you're going to be playing with the big boys. Great. Go for it. But when are they going to hit it? Like, you know, he said like February 1st. And he's like, I go, do you have anybody to answer the phone? No. I says, you better find someone now, start training them. And when that phone rings and you're getting that call, that's expensive and you need to convert it. You better have that person trained because I hire you today, Neil, you're hired. And then you start tomorrow. And then I basically spend an hour with you and onboard you. And I'm like, okay, you're good.
You're good to go. Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
No, you're right about that. What's interesting is you're a rehabber. So am I. I mean, we've done hundreds of them, but big difference is I don't know which end of the hammer is up. And you actually know how to get, not only do you know how to do it, I know what needs to be done, just like you know what needs to be done, but you can actually do it.
Yeah. And it's funny that you said that because you know my partner, Ricky, right?
Yeah.
He's great. He bought a house about 2 miles from here.
Okay.
And I tore the whole thing apart. So that's what I've been doing. I've already been there for an hour and I have kitchen drawings here. I'm working with, before I got on the call with you, I was meeting on the phone with the cabinet lady trying to move things around. So yeah, I do have the knowledge, you know, so it does help. And I do have a construction company too, believe it or not. So I'm not hiring general contractors. I'm kind of a general contractor.
Yep.
I have another company. So Ricky and I have like a sales and marketing company.
The acquisition and business.
That we own together. Mm-hmm. And then I have my old plumbing company still set up as a construction company that I run myself with my own money. And my wife is a designer. So she works with me in that realm. So and
do you do, obviously your own flips, but do you do outside work then?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just everything in there. And then she'll go in and do the design work there. And then she does some other things outside of that then.
Yeah. So she does the design work. She picks all the colors. She goes shopping. She, you know, she's buying all the lights and we do all that kind of work. She does a lot of that stuff. And then I go out to the jobs with her once or twice a week. And then we kind of regroup everybody or like, I think it was yesterday, the day before, we just dropped off a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Then I have a foreman that works there and he runs the guys.
Okay.
You know, so that's just how I do it.
So you've worked yourself out of that field job.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because I still feel like tomorrow's, you know, it's Friday right now for everybody. And Saturday, I feel like I need to go help Ricky get, it's not even my house. And I feel like I need to go out and start banging on stuff.
That's because it's your partner, not because it's part of business. That's because it's fun for you because it's him.
And it's funny because I used to show up on the jobs and the workers were like, what's this guy doing? And I would just start sweeping and cleaning because I wanted to go faster. But then again, I'm not really being a true business owner if I'm doing that, right? I'm just, you know, the CEO's got a broom in his hand. It's not a good look.
You're in, not on, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place. Batchleads.io. Batchleads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batchleads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batchleads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month. That's a unique one in the sense that all of us as leaders want to be seen as somebody who's willing to pitch in, willing to go the extra step, willing to go the extra mile, there for their people, right? And you want to be that person who knows, oh, that guy will do the work too. But at the same time, you've got to be able to pick the right work because, you know, without you doing the right work, they don't have any work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's another thing too. You know, I was talking to a guy I know forever, he's an electrician today, and he's working up there at Ricky's house, and his name's Robbie. And I was like, the other thing is too, I can't treat the people that work in the office like the construction people. It's two different.
Correct.
Construction talk is different than office talk, right? So I had to learn that too, because I'm pushing people all the time on the construction jobs, but I can't do that with the salespeople. You can't push them into getting more sales. It's a process, right? So
correct.
What's good about that is Ricky's handling all the sales. So Ricky's a licensed agent, but he sells the properties for us. But then for all the intake, all the calls that come in, he's running the sales and marketing. Well, I do the marketing. He does the sales, and we have two salespeople that he's managing and training and listening to the calls and giving them, you know, they're handling that together. So I'm hands off of that. I just look at the numbers, which I'm really excited about, and he's doing a great job.
So Ricky's your partner. How did you guys meet?
So Ricky owns a gym too. So he has like ownership in a gym.
Okay.
He writes in the local newspaper, a little column, you know, about gym stuff. And he's driving up the street here, right up the street from my office here. And I was on a Saturday and I'm going home and I see an open house. So I said, oh, who's this guy? You know, from the paper. Start talking to him. And he kind of had like a fixer that he was holding open. And we just had a conversation. He was interested in maybe getting together and, you know, learning and doing stuff. So what I did is he's like, hey, I just want to learn this. I'll work for free. And I was like, well, free's good, but that's not a,
Yeah. So right.
Since he was an agent, I was still on my own at the time and I was using other agents. I'm like, I'll make you a deal. If you want to come here and work and learn the business, I have to hire an agent to sell these properties. You know, 2% out here is usually 2.5, but I'd give him 2. I says, I'll pay you when I get a listing, I'll give you the listing and then you'll be getting paid when I sell the flips. How's that sound? He goes, oh man, I'm in. So. Yeah. You know, so he wasn't really, every day he was working here, he wasn't really getting a paycheck, but he was getting listings. So every couple of months he'd get a chunk of change from.
Right.
And then we just.
And it's California. So they're not small listings.
Yeah. I mean, they're back then they were 600,000-700,000. So he's getting like maybe, you know, do the math,
right.
12, 14 grand. So,
right.
You know, and he was learning and he has a great attitude about that. And then 2017, we started talking around this time. I said, you know, you want to be a partner? And then we kind of just came up with a partnership.
Oh, cool.
Took it from there.
In 2017.
Yeah.
Is that something you know, looking back, you wish you would have had that earlier?
No, I think it came at the right time. You know, I think it came at the right time. And, and like, you know, and then we had to go through a lot of growing pains. Like we had to go through a lot of struggles where I was in sales. I was like the tape measure story, you know, and then Ricky, you know, Ricky took over sales. And then we found out that like, okay, then maybe that's, you know, like we probably need a sales girl in this 4-year journey that we're on. It's like, then we brought in the sales girl and we started killing it. Cause that's all she's doing is selling. Hey, she's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. She's just good at talking to people and getting people to, you know, getting their stories and just pushing the company out there. And she's way better than us. You know,
looking back, what's been the biggest challenge that you've had to go through in your business?
I think the biggest challenge is the sales part, because you know how it is. You're in sales. You're a pretty good sales guy. It's like you, you know, the low hanging fruit comes along and it makes it real easy on you, right? It's like someone comes along, they're almost like, you know, they just roll over and they tell you what you want. And then you think, oh man, I'm buying houses.
Right.
But then all of a sudden the market changes, or you just, now all of a sudden you're trying to scale.
Yep.
You're upped your marketing budget to say 20, 30 grand a month. And now you're not getting any, you're not getting any contracts because your sales process is horrible. Yep. Right. So we tore that thing apart about two or three times, and it was painful, you know. And then almost like all the money that we spent, we kind of had a debt, but then we were able to pay it off. Then we start over. So we had this up and down. It's like the entrepreneurial roller coaster, like Darren Hardy's book, you know. It's like up and down. And now it seems like we're at a point where we're just slowly going up, because we hired the right people and put the right in the processes and, you know, coaching and all that kind of good stuff that really made a difference on just the slow and steady of it, instead of trying to be like fast and all over the place.
I'm going to take a hard left here. Who was the greatest single influence in your life when you were a child?
Be my dad. My dad. Yeah. My dad was really a hard worker. Still alive, which thank God. He's 84. He worked for United Airlines.
Oh.
And he just loaded planes. That was a really good job back in the 70s and 60s, 70s, you know, even in the 80s. He's been retired for some time, but
probably, you know, very stable, wasn't it?
Very stable.
Yeah.
Very stable and just very like the paycheck.
Yeah.
Very simple. Like, you know, you go to work. You know, I go to work, they pay me. If I'm late, they fire me. If I want to work overtime, I work overtime. Real simple.
Very simple. And in that era, companies were dedicated to people and people were dedicated to companies.
Yeah. And it was just, it was like, right. You know, like Christmas. He's like, they don't owe me a Christmas bonus. They gave me a job. If I want extra money, I'll work overtime. It's just so black and white, but it works so well that like a lot of people don't realize like just how simple that was. But it gave me, and then my grandfather was a bricklayer, and he was big in my life too, because he worked hard too. Yeah. And he came from Croatia. So he came from, you know, he immigrated.
Yeah.
And my mom was an entrepreneur. So she worked, she was a cafeteria manager. And then for the LA Unified School, elementary school, but she always had a business afterwards that she would start.
She had a side hustle.
Yeah, side hustle. And she worked her butt. She worked really hard on that. And I saw the ups and downs of that too. Because a couple of times she was like some of the stuff she was doing, she started a business with her friend, and then her friend bailed on her. It's a secretarial business when computers first came out. So she had like the original Apple or the Mac or something, whatever. Some kind of Windows or whatever. But she would type things up for people, and people wanted to get away from the typewriter. But she was doing all that stuff because her whole mentality, she had to pay off these computers that she bought.
Right.
You know, and I don't know how profitable it was. I never asked, but I know it was a lot of work, weekends, nights. And, but she just never complained. She just did it, you know. So I had some really good examples of both sides. If you want to go get a job, that's great. If you want to go down this way, there's two roads you can go down.
Yeah, two different ones, and they worked together. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, bring me back to your office. What's the culture like in your office?
Well, the culture's, you know, that's great, because that's a great question, because, you know, we're big on like the core values, right? So we have a core values established. I'm trying to really focus in on this. I got a book from Jerry Green, and it's like he spoke to our group.
Jerry's a great guy.
It was Trevor. Now I can't remember. It was great. It's like the CEO should, which I'm trying to really be, culture, numbers, and people, right? So we're really focused on, you know, like the culture here, and really, like you're saying, like giving people, having core values so that we're all on the same page, right? And really trying to stick to those core values and really making decisions, hiring and firing from those core values. That's a game changer, because everybody's on the same team. It's great. And if we go out of those core values, sometimes deals go bad or something happens. And sometimes it's because, you know, things go wrong. So we look at the core values and say, like, how do we handle this person? And if it's within the core values, it's great. We said it just wasn't meant to be. If we went ahead and did something that we thought went against the core values, we talk about it, we fix it, and we move on. So we're not that far off from it, you know, like as far as if something ever goes wrong. But sometimes you got to, we kind of have that with like North Star to point towards. And it makes it so simple when you have people all going in the right direction.
How does the rubber meet the road when it comes to the application of core values in your hiring process?
Oh, that's, you know, so we basically, you know, read them the core values.
Yeah.
That's just the number one thing. You have to agree to them when we hire people. Like, you have to agree to them. You have to sign off on them. They have to be really clear that this is how we operate as a company. And if there's any deviation here, this is either going to like you're hired from this, and you're going to like, you could be fired from this if these rules are broken. And it's so simple, because the people that work here want to do good. They want to, they all buy into these core values.
Yep.
And it's great. So I'm that was a game changer too. and talking about them all the time.
Having those earlier on would have changed my business trajectory at a much faster pace.
Yeah.
Understanding that and living and dying by it.
Yeah.
It would have made a big difference earlier. Yeah.
We talk about them every Monday, right? So when we have our level 10 meeting, that's like, you know, we just get right to it. It's like, we read them every week. And then like coming out at the end of the year here, I'm going to probably make a little speech, you know, like you're, you know, like from the VTO or whatever, if you use
right.
if you guys that,
yep.
you
know, the VTO. Yep.
Yeah. And then we just kind of had a little meeting this morning. I got here at 6 and Ricky and I Zoomed and for about 2.5 hours, and we're going to finish up next week. So yeah, we're just big on that stuff. And we're just trying to create a place where people want to work, where it's close to family as possible. You know, is it really going to be family? Work family, right?
Yeah. Work family. Right.
Yeah. Everybody's remote, which we were laughing. It's like, it's great. Everybody's kind of remote because we have a daily huddle every morning and everybody talks and everybody's on the same page. We can all get a hold of each other, but we just trust everybody's doing what they're doing and they're all being held accountable by their numbers. And we see the progress. So it's like, we don't need to be babysitting around here.
Right. You know? Right. What's one underrated or unknown business tool or habit that people should know about?
Wow. I business tool. I think a habit. I probably think there's so many tools out there, but
sure.
You know, I think the habit is like what we do as a team too, is like, it's all about the mindset, right? And creating the right mindset, you know, like getting in the habit of having a great mindset. So, you know, every morning, everybody gets a link to Darren Hardy. It's called Darren Daily, right? Mm-hmm. It's a link and everybody listens to that 5-minute segment. And then we talk about it for the first 5 minutes of our daily huddle. But what I like about that, it's just all about the mindset, right? So we're getting the mind, we all get to share what we got out of it. And sometimes we get, you know, there's 5 of us, we might get 5 different stories of what we got out of it. But the greatest thing about it is that we're all talking positive in the morning.
Yeah.
And if there is something that someone fell short on, they'll admit it. And they'll say, well, I learned from this. And so just having that positive mindset, I mean, it's that's a cliche, have a positive mindset, right? You got to practice it. And you got to basically just like.
Yes, but it is a choice.
It is a choice. And I think another thing too, is like asking people what their goals are, where they want to be. Because another thing too, is like in the mindset, it's like, you know, if I want to do 50 deals a year and you want to do 20, we probably got a problem.
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
So we want to have that open conversation once a year and or maybe even twice a year and check in with people to see like where they're at and what they're doing and see how we can help them achieve that.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Thinking about adding people to your team now or in the next year? New and experienced investors alike are turning to the definitive book on hiring written by yours truly. It's called Unicorn Hunting for Real Estate Investment Companies. How to easily attract, screen, and land a unicorn. It's the complete hiring funnel. This book is a step-by-step process. It includes the secret sauce for attracting more applicants than you'll ever need, the exact resources to use along with screenshots, so it's easy to follow, how to accurately compensate the role and find candidates who will work for 15 to 30% less than the average wage in your home city. P.S. No, we're not shipping the jobs overseas. How to weed out applicants, including the exact word for word my team uses in our own business. Every single email needed for the entire process, it's all included. The screening tools used when interviewing, when to make the job offer. It's so easy that 90% of the work that goes into unicorn hunting can be done by someone else or a VA. This book retails on Amazon for $49.95. But since you listen here to Real Grit, I want to say thanks. I want to give you a free copy. I just ask that you cover the shipping handling. To get your free copy along with a few valuable bonuses I have not yet even mentioned, go to www.landaunicorn.com. That's www.landaunicorn.com right now to get your free book.
Right. Yep. Darren's written some very good books. You know, it's really about incremental gains, getting better every day, small ways. I wrote a piece to my team today, just an observation. If you waste just over 9 minutes, but if you waste 9 minutes a day, I'm talking business days here. So 5 days a week, 9 minutes a day, every day for a business year, it turns into 1 week.
100%.
1 week of lost time, 40 hours.
Yeah.
A whole week of your, if you're wasting 9 minutes a day. When you put it in that context, all those little things, all those little things that sometimes you don't think are a big deal in a schedule or whatever it may be, they all add up.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, coming from the construction world, it's funny. I was talking to an electrician about that. It's like, you know, when you're doing construction, you might be like you might be in a position to where you know, you get off at 3:30 and yeah. guys are checking out already at 2:30. But right. you know, as the owner, when I used to work, it's at I'm there at 3:20. If I put an extra 10 minutes in, it might save me 2 hours the next day.
Correct.
By the time I get back there and get all my tools, I'm going to do whatever I can. So I don't have to go, I want to finish what I'm doing.
Correct.
So I can move on. But that's an example right there. Some people would just go, no, I'm going home and I'm out of here. And I think right. it's a different mentality sometimes. And you know, when you have people that are you have employees, but if you have employees that are just watching the clock and they're and you're not pointing this kind of stuff out to them, they're just already out the door, like they're checking out at it's Friday. It's 2:30 here where I'm at. It's like yeah. Friday at 2:30. They're already thinking about what like how do I get out of it? And it's not even 5 o'clock yet.
Right.
They're just already in kickback mode. So that's
that would fly in the face of our core values in my office.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You just yeah. couldn't have it. Right. Yep. So tell me this, life's a journey, but at the same time requires a goal, a destination. So where are you headed? What's next year look like for you guys?
I think next year we're like in the 30s right now with deals. We kind of just like, it, I got this little saying to myself. It's like, it's just as easy to do a deal a week than it isn't, right? Like if that makes sense, right? What I'm saying is like, we could do a deal a week. We're doing like one every 8 days, but I want to get to like, you know, once a week.
What's your average deal size in purchase price?
I think, purchase price is anywhere from, the lowest is going to be 4 up to like, I think we have some on the board over there. I kind of try to stay between 4 and 6 for the flips purchase price.
Yeah.
You know, but we have it like a 7 something and we'll probably wholesale that one.
Your lowest is the highest you've ever done in a house.
Yeah, no, that's it's California, right? I mean, that's, but then, so we try to get like 20 grand minimum wholesale fee. Sometimes we get more or less. I think we're hovering around there. We're about like 36 deals right now for the year. And that was sort of our goal. I don't know if they're all going to close, but we're close. So I definitely, we started doing like by going all the, so we expanded all of California just
yep.
2 weeks ago. So we're getting some traction from that. It's just starting. So going into the next year, yep. I have no problems thinking that we could just be bringing in a deal a week. And then,
yep.
After that, I don't really want to look too far into like we are going to do a little planning for the 3-year mark, but
sure.
What's that look like? We got to get to it. We ran out of time this morning. That's where we left it, believe it or not, in our yep. meeting. We're going to meet next week and finish it. But, I think we have a great team. We're capable of doing that. I mean, I'm wondering if I'm bottlenecking us by saying a deal a week. Maybe we could do, 2 a week. It's just, we're going to find out. So.
Right.
That's great.
But yeah, you're right. Your mindset can cap you, can it not?
Oh, 100%. And that's, right. It's all about your mindset, right?
Correct.
It's just like, you got to have some capital behind you too, a little bit.
Correct.
I know you can wholesale with no money and that's fine. People do it, right?
Yep.
But we're rehabbing. So I think I have in the books out there, I have 6 or 7. I got, actually, I'm down to maybe, I think we had 6 on the books. I got paid twice this week,
okay.
which is great. But then I got 2 more started. So yep. it's just like, it's, I'm looking at, I'm
it's, it, at it rolls. Yeah.
The right. accountant sits over here, the bookkeeper that comes in. Right. So it's like, yeah, you got to have money to rehab and stuff like that too. So
correct.
It's interesting, but it took some time to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on to our final segment. What I call four impact.
Four impact.
What is your favorite quote?
I think it's, I like, Dr. Wayne Dyer. So if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, right? So I heard that like in 2005 and I was kind of, I was kind of in one of those points in my life where I was kind of in a low point.
Yeah.
And I turned on the TV and I saw this guy, Dr. Wayne Dyer. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but
no.
It's on PBS, and okay. it's like, yep. I was like, wow, this guy's got a lot of good things to say, yeah. And I heard that and I was like, that's totally true, So of course I bought the CDs that he had. I'm yep. a sucker for that. And I started listening to that. And it's like, he's all about intention, you know? And then I was a single guy back then thinking that I would probably need to, I was 38, right? 37.
Okay.
Thinking man, I might want to change this up a little bit. Now I'm married and have a kid. But back in back in the summer of 2005, I heard that, bought the tapes, and I met my wife in around this time, December of 2005. And then really? We got married. And so, we got married like a year and a half later. And then here we are. So it's great. That was a good, something that kind of life,
The changed. Quote's true.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think holds most investors back?
I think, what we've been talking about, it's just your mindset. You got to work hard. Let's face it. I know you're working like a lot, and let's just throw that notion out that you could just work this 4 hours a week and it'd be that guy that just shows up and just comes and goes, right? I think you have to really, really just
you can, but you're not going to get a lot done.
Right. And it's that Tim Ferriss book, The 4 Hour Work Week. They yet to tell you that that's great when you've been doing it for 10 years.
Sure.
Right. You know, maybe you're in a position now where you don't have to have hands on with everything, but you know, I think you just have to work hard. And I like, you know, I burned the boats, man. I just basically said, I'm going from plumbing into this. And it hasn't been easy. I'll tell you that. I mean, I never, it was up and down and sideways and all over the place. So, but I was like, I'm just determined. I'm going to make this thing work. I'm not going to like failure.
Why haven't you ever gone back? You're here for a reason, but why you could easily go back and do that. You did it for 25 years. Why not just go back?
I would look at myself like, man, first of all, I just don't want to go back to plumbing. But if I did, I think, you know, the way I look at that is I don't want to go back. So I'm going to figure this out. Cause then I have to I've been away from that for so long. I'd have to reinvent myself over there again. No, like those customers I had aren't going to still be there.
Right.
And then now there's different pipes techniques and all this stuff. And it's like, no, I'm going to figure this out.
This is it.
That's what I did. And Ricky too, we just did not quit. And a couple of times we were going to quit. Like it got to that point where it's like, dude, this isn't working. And we had to have that kind of like that moment where we kind of had to like, okay, say this isn't working. And then, but wait a minute, how can we make it work? You know, how can we make it work? So at one point we almost quit. We were call it quits. But then we said, wait a minute, I got an idea though. And then that idea changed everything, which is just let's you and I get out of the way, bring people in. There's better salespeople out there. Let's bring them in. And actually Peggy was with us. I just said, let's just give Peggy the reins, let her go with it. You know,
the idea was for you two to level up as leaders is what I hear you say.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
Yeah. Get out of the way. Set up some training. You know, so it's great. Ricky owns a gym. He's great. He could train people all day long, which is right. Great. He just started doing what he's naturally good at.
Yeah.
Training people.
Yeah. Just train them on something else.
Yeah. And keep training them and don't stop every day. Keep training. Right. It's
like, yep. Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
You know, it's funny at this point, man, I'm just so locked into that. I mean, I'm passionate about my family, obviously. I do a lot with them. My wife and I have a 12-year-old, so he's at that point to where I try to spend a lot of time with him.
A lot of fun, yeah.
But yeah, it's fun. I mean, I love skiing. We're going to go skiing in about 2 weeks up to Utah. I got a little boat here in town. I live in the port of Los Angeles, so I'm about a mile and a half from my little boat. I got a 25-foot boat. We can go out to the ocean and screw around on that. I like that. But you know what I'm really passionate about? It's like I'm really like charity work. I really love helping people. I'm really involved with like in a quiet way too, right? I don't need to know what I'm doing, but I'm really passionate about that. Like working with the Boys and Girls Club. I do some work with the LAPD. Try to spread it around a little bit, you know, sure. And that's actually a big passion of mine.
Yeah.
I just love helping people.
Yeah.
It feels good. And it's the right thing to do. You know, I love giving back.
Absolutely. Well, that bleeds into my last question is what's your favorite way to make an impact on your community?
I think that's it.
Like, that's
it. Just the charity. Yeah. I mean, I used to do a lot of work at church, but that seemed like that kind of, you know, they have a change of leadership at the church and the people, so it's good. I'll go back. I got the key to the church. That's pretty funny. I never thought that anybody that knows me would think I have a key to the church, but I was really passionate about that for a while, which is good. I have a lot of faith. So that's where all my, you know, and everything I feel like my faith gets me through a lot of stuff. Right. And that's everything that's happening is for a reason. And it comes from God. And I'm just basically just trying to serve him the best and opportunities that are coming my way. It's like anything I can do to help people, I'm all for it. And it's just, yeah, I want to. That's my impact. I want to basically like just help as many people as I can.
Yeah. No, that's great. Well, if people want to follow you, connect with you in any capacity, where can they find you online?
Yeah, they can go to my website, johnmedinabuyshouses.com. You know, so you can basically, there's a phone number on there. It's a 310-928-9688. And you probably get Peggy on the phone, but you could talk to her if you wanted to talk to me. She'll probably ask you a lot of questions, but probably the best way is email me. So john@johnmedinabuyshouses.com.
Perfect.
That's the best way.
We'll put that in the links here and the links in the show notes for everybody. Yeah.
Facebook, Instagram, John Medina Buys Houses, wherever.
John Medina Buys Houses. Okay. We'll get that. The links in the show notes for everybody.
Great.
Hey, really appreciate you taking the time to connect up here, John. It's been, it's really cool to hear about your experience and your history coming from That's what I think I like best about real estate is that unlike being in, make up a profession, a doctor, you go to school for a gazillion years and then that's what you do, is that this industry affords the opportunity for anybody who's going to show up and take action and go to work. And yeah. And you came through that, obviously a hard worker for a number of years in a completely, say, different industry, but had, you know, touched this industry as you went from kind of from the housing perspective, but then had to retool, if you will, to learn how to be an investor.
Yeah, exactly. And that was, and still learning, right?
Still learning. Well, no one's ever done, right?
Yeah. That's the greatest thing about it. You
know? No, I agree with you. And if the goal is to Darren Hardy, constant improvement, you know, the goal is mastery of this. We never really get there. It's just incremental gains all the way. Right.
Exactly. It's a compound effect, right? A little bit every day.
The compound effect. There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. So, awesome.
Hey, really appreciate it. For Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons reminding you that real estate requires real grit. I'll see you guys soon.
Thanks, Neil.
If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.